purpose driven 2013. I know it doesn't rhyme, but let it be a purpose driven year. It's a few scriptures I want to highlight, but I'm busy reading a book by Steve Murrell. Has anyone heard of Steve Murrell? He's a very humble guy. But the Lord has really blessed him to disciple a lot of people. Does anyone want to guess how big the church is that he's pastoring? And you've never heard of him. Guess how big his church is. Any guesses? And you're not allowed to say them. Okay, now that's just... Okay, it's not quite that much. Why didn't you say a gazillion? Eh? Eh? 2,000. Okay, it's up from that. It's down from your one. Yeah, Ryan said 100,000. Lenta said 2,000. It's pretty much in the middle of that. 52,000. Okay. So you guys were close. As a team, you guys were, you see, you're a good team. You're close. Add the two, divide it by two, and then you're close. Okay. So 52,000, that's a pretty huge church. Pretty scary, if you ask me. He went there, and there was no church to start with. He calls himself an accidental missionary, him and his wife. He's basically just a guy who sold out to the Lord from when he was quite a young guy, and he got involved on campus as a student with ministry and so on, and I think he had at some point he had a small group of guys that he was discipling, about 30 guys. And then there was the summer vacation mission trips came up, and him and his wife decided they want to go on that mission trip, and it was a mission for a month. They were going to go to the Philippines, to Manila, and then they were going to go to South Korea after that for another month. Okay, they've got long holidays in the USA. So there they went off to Manila, and then they did a lot of evangelistic meetings across the city for a whole month, a couple of times a day. And he was just like going along, not as the team leader or anything, he was just a member of the team, not particularly evangelistic or anything, but there he was, part of the team. At the end of the month, they had 165 converts. Not bad. Okay, that's pretty good for a month's labor. And then the team leader said he wants them to stay behind to continue raising up leaders. And they've been there ever since. And so basically from zero with the team, 165, and now he's grown over 27 years to 52,000. And he says he's never really had this, you know, we're talking about purpose tonight and so on, and the year that's lying ahead. He's never had this distinct, clear calling from God, kind of clear and concise, saying what he wants him to do in this life and so on. He says that's why he calls himself this accidental missionary, because he was just there serving the Lord. But he did believe in the Great Commission. You know, he believed in the Word of God, but he took the Great Commission to heart. Okay, one of the last things Jesus said before he ascended, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Okay, and so his motto is, God said he must make disciples, and Jesus said he will build a church. So Steve doesn't worry about building the church. That's Jesus' job. He's just making disciples. So they're constantly refining their discipleship-making process and how they engage with people and how they equip people and how they empower people. They're constantly, you know, tweaking that. Obviously, it would look way different now than 20 years ago. You know, context and culture changes as well a bit over time. So they just stay humble in that, and they don't believe, you know, they've got now the winning recipe and so on, but they just keep focusing on making disciples. So he says that's just his singular focus. But God has really blessed that, and however they're doing it is not necessarily going to work somewhere else. So it's not like I'm now, woohoo, we're going to apply this principle. Yeah, the book that he wrote is Wiki Church, which comes from Wikipedia. And that's a principle that he wants to help, you know, bring across. And maybe I can just quickly explain that. Now, Wikipedia, gee, I don't even know how long it's been around. It's probably 7 years or something like that. But it's before Wikipedia, there was Newpedia. Okay, N-U-pedia. And it was a couple of guys that wanted to start an online encyclopedia. And so they sourced a few experts in different fields, and they told these guys to compile articles now for this online encyclopedia. And I don't know how long it took. It's something like in a year or 2 years, I forgot the exact number, but then they compiled 24 articles. At the same time, the guy that started it, whose idea it was, he kind of got this sort of feeder system going that was Wikipedia, where he opened it up to whoever wants to make a contribution, and then they would obviously have a verification process in place and you know, to feed kind of these experts. And these sort of, you know, these guys that submitted for Wikipedia, there's obviously a lot of people that started, you know, submitting articles and so on. And they discovered that these articles are just as credible as, you know, and accurate as pretty much as what the scientists were coming up with. Only difference is they had something like 20,000 articles in a year instead of the 24 articles that these experts that they had together managed to produce. So they saw obviously the value in getting people involved. And so that is how he sees ministry as well. That's why he calls it a wiki church. Now, wiki is a Hawaiian word meaning quick, right? And so he doesn't see church as some, you know, kind of full-time ministers doing all the work. He sees church as everyone having a ministry, which is what the word says as well. And so that is one of their principles that they keep to in the church there in Manila. Is they see themselves as a wiki church where everyone is empowered, equipped and empowered to do ministry. And they've just seen this exponential growth where everyone's part of the disciple-making process, you know, receiving training and training others as well. And it's kind of just exploded like that. And so that's something very exciting, but that's just sort of on the side. Obviously, that is something that we as Shofar also believe in, that everyone is a minister. And the vision that we have for our church is not just the vision of the pastors. It should be all of our vision to go and reach the nations and generations. So something else that I wanted to mention rather in the book that stuck with me for today's message was, he says that, as I mentioned, he didn't get this clear-cut calling from God. But he was just kind of doing what he felt he had to do in line with the Great Commission, going out and making disciples wherever he went. This would be one of his focuses and goals, to, you know, go and make disciples that people would come to know the Lord and start following him. And so he just carried on doing this. And he says, you know, like a rudder isn't going to be any use to a stationary ship. It starts coming into effect. As soon as the ship moves, then you can start using the rudder to steer the ship. Okay, and that God will most often only steer a moving ship. So if we take that personally, you know, we need to get moving for God. Don't sit around waiting for a specific calling, because it might never come in that way. God has already said, go and make disciples. Okay, get involved in the local church's disciple-making process. And then you'll see God will start steering you and directing to you to your specific gifting and function and calling and destiny. Okay, but God will steer a moving ship. What does C.S. always say? He says, signs and wonders, as the Bible says, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. But C.S. always says, you know, it's pretty hard to follow a parked car. Okay, so not going to be too many signs and wonders following us if we're not busy doing anything, if not getting busy doing the things of God. All right, so let us this year also purpose to get out there, to get involved, to get stuck into church life, because this God never intended for us to be out there Lone Ranger on our own, you know, Batman, you know, go and save the city and whatever. We do it. We're a body. The members are not meant to be disjointed. We're meant to be together. The cells are together. And that is when we can function properly and optimally as well. And so God has purposed us to be together in this part of the body, in this church. And together we are effective for Him. And together He wants to use us. So if you know you're meant to be in this church, then you're meant to be involved in this church's disciple-making process. Okay, and so we're going to all, this year, we've revamped our whole foundation series. We've repackaged it, new approach. It's going to be awesome. It's not going to be what you expect. It's called the Encounter Series. And we're all going to go through it again because we all need to get on the same page. Because when the new people come in, then we actually need to know, you know, where we're going to send them and what we're going to do with them. And we're going to be the ones discipling them. So we need to get everyone on the same page again. And just like the church in Manila, you know, that's the one thing you can be sure of in Shofar as well, is that change is here to stay. Because God is moving. Society and culture out there is speeding up and changing all the time. And we need to stay relevant and we need to stay open to what the Holy Spirit says to us. And we realize now that, you know, people have access to all the info on the internet and all the lies as well, unfortunately. But all the info is out there at their fingertips every day. And people today don't really want another info dump when they come to church or attend a course or whatever. What people need in order to get birthed into the kingdom is an encounter with Jesus Christ, with the living God. And that is what we're seeking to facilitate in the Encounter series. So it's going to be less info and more Jesus invading our space. And so that's going to be awesome. So you don't want to miss that. So we're all going to go and do that again. We will probably, we'll make a plan to do the first round either at Stellenbosch or, you know, if it comes to Cape Town or whatever. But there are preliminary dates that we'll inform everyone of. So I'm just preaching here to the first fruits of the year. But we're going to get everyone psyched up to go and do the Encounter series. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so the scripture I first want to share with us in Philippians 3, verse 9 to 11. And this is preceded by Paul speaking about how if anyone could have confidence in their own ability or in their flesh, he could. He says he's an Israelite, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As far as the law is concerned, a Pharisee, as far as zeal is concerned, persecuting the church, you know, he can run with the big dogs, okay? But he says he counts all of that rubbish compared to the all-surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ, to know God, that is what his focus is. And we're going to see that in verse 10. But he says, yeah, in other words, not having a righteousness of my own from the law. He knows his right standing with God, his relationship with God is not based upon him adhering to the law. He tries, obviously, like all of us, we try and do the right thing. But none of us are perfect. We will fail at times. But he says that his righteousness is from God based on faith. Faith in Christ. That is where his righteousness, his right standing is found, in Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the law. He crossed the T's and dotted the I's at the cross. There's nothing that we can add to what Jesus did. But we can rest in that completed work at the cross. And so Paul continues in 10 then. So what's left for him? He doesn't need to go out there and fulfill the law like some, you know, Pharisee that's doing his best. He says, my goal is to know him. This is all that remains for us, to know our Lord and Savior, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now you can know someone and then you can know someone. You know, I mean, we use that word loosely, like we use love and McDonald's and all these kind of things. To know Jesus, you can know Jesus far off. You know, maybe when we were in Sunday school, we knew Jesus in a certain manner of speaking, but there's a different intimate knowledge and place of abiding in him where his life is really where Christ, you're allowing him to live through you. Where you say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay? Where we die to ourselves, our own desires, our own ambitions, our own plans and stuff. The Bible says man's plans will fail, but God's plans will prevail. Okay, so it's a place of allowing Christ in you to come out, to allow the Lord to live through you, and that's when the power becomes evident. When we know God so intimately, when we have this living, intimate relationship with Christ, you see, we don't understand fully the authority that we have in Christ. Jesus said we will do greater things than Him. You know, the wind blows here most days. Jesus calmed the storm. We're not doing that. We want those sunny days, and we're not speaking to the wind. We don't. Our faith doesn't stretch that far. Come on. You know, there's power. Jesus took back the keys of the kingdom from the enemy after He was crucified and buried. And He's given it back to us. We have the keys of the kingdom. What we bind on earth will be bound in the heavens. We have the authority. We have the resurrection power of Christ in us. You know, I don't know how many of you have prayed for a dead person to be raised. I have. Unfortunately, it didn't happen then. I'm not going to stop praying for dead people if I have the opportunity. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth who has raised many people from the dead. And there was some report of someone who's, you know, obviously in awe of the things that he heard, and said, you know, wow, that is so awesome, you know, how do you do it, and whatever, and whatever. And he says, well, if you know how many people I prayed for that weren't raised from the dead. But you see, he doesn't stop. At the end of the day, God decides in terms of miracles what's going to happen. We are not the miracle makers. Okay, that is God. We are the vessels. Okay, and sometimes we hear wrong. So the person I prayed for, maybe it was more for the sister that was next to me. I don't know. Okay? Obviously, I heard slightly wrong there, but I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to dwell in self-pity. But we need to start recognizing the power that we have in Christ and the life of Christ, how different it is from the life we were living 10 or 15 years ago before we knew Him. It is a different life, a supernatural life that we've been called to. End of last year, we were speaking about the fact that the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. That's something that I trust that we'll grow in this year as a church, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. Then we're going to start seeing things happen. We need to have faith for that. We need to understand that our righteousness is not based on our works. It's based on the completed work of Jesus Christ. Amen. He continues to say, after my goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Okay, we all know there's a cost to be counted. You know, we invite the Lord into our lives. We invite and allow Him to save us. He's our Savior, but He's also our Lord. I mean, our Lord and Savior. What does Lord mean? Is He Lord of our lives at the moment? Do we want Him to be Lord of our lives this year? Obviously, I'm just talking about this year, but I mean forever. Okay. We're talking about Him being our master, Him taking the wheel and steering us. Being willing to say, okay, Lord, that plan of mine, I see that it doesn't fall in line with what Your plan is. I submit to Your plan. It's a submitted heart. It's a willing heart to do what God wants us to do. And so there's a cost to be counted. And often that cost means our comfort. Again, we're a church of many upwardly mobile young people. And I just want to throw this in there. Watch out that money in this year doesn't become a snare to you. It is a root of all kinds of evil. The Bible says that for good reason. Let us remain focused on the Lord. Let us remember who our source is. The disciples knew who their source was after they caught all those fish as the Lord directed them, and they left their fishing boats right there, and they left their livelihood. They left their father with a fishing boat. They knew who was, they realized something's different here. They realized who their source was, and they followed their source. Don't eat your seed, and know who your provider is. The Lord provides for His children. The Lord protects His children. Let us stay focused on Jesus this year. Let nothing distract us. No amount of money, no potential job offer, no raise, no nothing. Let it not get to us. Let it not get to our heads. Let's stay humble. Let's give God the glory. Let us stay focused, people. Okay. Our Lord, He suffered greatly for our sake. And if our King suffered like that, who are we to think that we are exempt from suffering? There will be challenges this year. But embrace it as an opportunity to grow. That is the quickest way to grow, when you embrace the challenge that comes your way. When you approach it with the right attitude. Because it's very easy to throw out toys. But when you realize, Lord, You are with me. You know, it's like the disciples in the boat and it's stormy and everything. And they are panicking. And they wake Jesus up and He's like, what? Why? Private joke. So, He says, you of little faith. You of little faith. Hey? Don't you know who's in the boat here with you? Do you know who's by your side every day? Why do we get stressed out over these challenges that come our way? When we know the Lord is with us, and when He is with us, He will get us through that. And what's more is we're going to grow in the process. We're going to be stronger. So that's where we can kind of take heart from that saying, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Except as believers, even if it kills us, hey, we go to heaven, so who cares? Okay. So we can really run flat out this year. Don't be afraid. I want to challenge you to take some risks this year. Okay? Within the confines of wisdom. But I want to challenge you to trust God for the impossible. Stretch your faith. We've got to go home tonight. And if you're going to go back to work tomorrow, if you've been on holiday or whatever, I want to challenge you to do it before you go to bed tonight. To trust God, to drop something in your heart, at least one faith challenge for the year. You know, you've got your boss is going to give you goals at work, unless you are the boss, okay? Then you're going to give someone else goals. But then you've already thought of your business goals. But your boss will give you, you don't have to worry about that. If you're a husband, your wife might give you some goals around the house or some handiwork to do or whatever. Okay. We're going to be busy everywhere, but no one's going to give you a spiritual goal. Well, I'm trying to help you, yeah, but it's between you and God, really, because I'm not with you all the time, but He is. But I want you to write something down, a spiritual goal. You know, we need to grow. So I'm asking you to stretch your faith beyond what you saw last year. Maybe you moved in 8 of the 9 spiritual gifts last year. Then I want to challenge you, well, how about number 9 this year? Write that down. Lord, you know, I want to trust You to use me in a miracle this year. I want to be available for that. Okay, so I'm going to come across an impossible situation at some point this year, and I'm going to hear Your voice. Do something about it. And then, Lord, I want to man up in that situation. I want to do something about it. I want to trust You for that. I want to trust You for that divine appointment. I want to trust You for the courage to man up. And I want to trust You for the result. And I want to give You the glory. Okay? Let's stretch our faith this year. But you got to put your faith out for something. You got to write something down and stick it up and put your faith out for it so that when it happens, you give glory to God and you actually recognize what has happened. Otherwise, we're just floating. Otherwise, we're just existing, just surviving, going with the flow. It takes a dead fish to go with the flow. It takes a very live one to swim upstream. Okay? So we need to start trusting God for something specific. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about this year. As I said, in broad strokes, we all have the Great Commission to direct us, but and then also involvement in the church. This is your specific part of the body. God wants us to work together in table view for something specific. And we'll be, you know, directing each other in that process. But then on an individual, personal level as well, God's got some specific plans for you within that as well. And I just want to, you know, He's not going to reveal everything to us at the start of the year, but I want you to trust God for something to put down and to put your faith out for. We need to grow, people. If we're not growing, we're backsliding. God is moving. He said signs and wonders will follow those who believe. We need to get moving. Because we are believers. We need to get moving. We need to keep moving. Okay? Is that okay? Is that awesome? Good stuff. Okay, so Paul says he counts the cost. He's poured himself out as a drink offering. He's given himself, surrendered wholeheartedly to the Lord. Everything, all the stature he had in society and everything, he's given all of that up. I mean, the people that were holding him in high esteem were now stoning him to death. He's given everything up to know Christ and to follow Him. And he says he doesn't care. He doesn't care how much he suffers. He says you've got to rejoice in tribulation. You know, he rejoices. Oh, I'm getting locked up in prison again. Cool, I can write another letter that will be in the Bible one day. Okay. He didn't know. He didn't know that necessarily back then, but you know, he embraced every moment and every challenge. He didn't sit there having a pity party. He wrote letters to the churches. I write to you, you're in chains. And he instructs us, and he's still instructing us today from those prison cells all those years ago. Praise God for that tribulation, eh? I mean, how many of you would say, oh, that's great, I'm going to get locked up for my faith? No, praise God for that. It's an opportunity. Him and Silas, locked up in prison again. Does he have a pity party? It's a huge challenge. No. He praises the Lord. Prison doors fling open, and a jailer and his family get saved and baptized. You know, we sometimes think this thing is a massive challenge. In the meantime, God has gift-wrapped an opportunity for us to grow and for people to get saved. We need to look with spiritual eyes. We need to look in faith and see, yeah, here's an opportunity. That guy that's so nasty to me at work and that's been mocking Christians, now I'm going to pray for him every day. And I'm looking forward to, in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to minister to that guy. And I believe he's going to get saved. Because I know exactly who to pray for now. You know? You think it's a challenge. Ooh, what if he finds out I'm a Christian? No, he's going to find out I'm a Christian. But he's going to get saved. I'm not here to try and be better than him or anything. I'm here to show him that God loves him. Okay, let's just look at things differently this year. I want to say 2013 lies ahead and it's full of opportunities. Opportunities to grow personally and opportunities to grow the kingdom of God. That is what we're here for. I want to challenge us not to just think of ourselves this year, but to place others' needs before our own. 2030 is going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm very excited. Last year had its challenges, had many challenges, but also it was a good year. But this year is going to be even better. Every year gets better with the Lord. I mean, just think of it. If God is so big, every year we get to know Him a bit better. And everything about Him is amazing. And so getting to know something new, amazing about Him enriches our lives beyond what any course or holiday or fun day out or excursion can do. Getting to know the Lord. And so I'm excited because at the end of 2013, I'm going to know the Lord better than what I do today. and my life is going to be sweeter and richer for that. Awesome. And I want the same for every one of us, that we can all be even more excited about Jesus at the end of this year. First service in 2014, if you jumped up once tonight when we worshiped, you're going to jump up at least twice in 2014. Hey? We're going to get excited about the Lord. Okay, next scripture. It's the old faithful. We quote the scripture often, and I'm not saying that we quote it out of context, but sometimes we forget the qualifying portion, the second half of the scripture. And I just want us to just have a quick look at that. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Okay, and dan's daar 'n dubbelpunt. Qualify those who are called according to His purpose. Okay, when things are going pear-shaped, when things are messy in our lives, most of the time it's because we're not in God's purpose for our lives. I'm not saying it's always. We have an enemy that comes against us. But you know, we grow in discerning that. But often if we take stock at that point, we'll see, hey, I missed God a bit there. Okay, what do I do to get back into His purpose? I repent of doing things my own way or of sinning in this way or whatever. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for guidance. I embrace Your purpose. I'm going to go with that. Okay, I'm going to walk in that way. Because when we are in God's purpose and we love Him, everything works together for the good. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges. But then we know the challenge is going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. But sometimes things don't always end up okay. And then we've got to ask ourselves, that's the first question we can ask ourselves, and we can normally answer it pretty quickly as well. Am I in His purpose for my life in what I'm busy doing now? You know? And if I know I'm not, then I must make a plan to get there so that things can start working out for the good again. Okay? Our lives are meant to be blessed. We are meant to be the envy of the world. The world is meant to be busting our doors down, wanting to know this God that we serve. Because He said we are blessed to serve Him. Doesn't mean we don't have challenges. But when the challenge comes, we can rejoice. And that is way different from the world. The world will sit and moan and pity and everything. The Bible says we can rejoice. Then the world is already seeing something different in us. Okay, and you guys often have a great opportunity to testify in that way, because you are maybe working in kind of a secular environment, whereas I mostly have to do with amazing believers like you guys. So I don't often, you know, my light is shining in a very light place, so you don't see that much of it always. Okay, but your light is shining oftentimes in a dark place. And these opportunities and circumstances and challenges that come your way afford you the opportunity to shine your light very brightly. I want to encourage you to do that this year. Embrace those challenges and be blessed. Make sure you're in His purpose for your life. And then the final scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. There is a race before you, whether you like it or not. You are in a race. Okay? Not the rat race or the human race, but this is kind of a race for your soul. It's a race for eternity. This is the most important race you're ever going to run. Some of you have run races. I know some of the ladies here are quite athletic as well. You've run races, at least in primary school. We all did. I did everything. The athletic day, those athletics days, I signed up for shot put, javelin, high jump, long jump, 50 meters, 100 meters, you name it. It was huge fun. Okay, we know how to run around a track. And we know it's tiring. It's exhausting. And the problem is today, this race that I'm talking about, you've got the option to run or not to run. But you know, when we're talking about a race, it's something that's tough. It's something that you're going to exert yourself and exhaust yourself. Like if you're running behind the car, you get exhausted. Ryan got that one. And then you got to know that racing is tough. But this is the most important race you can run and that you have to run. Okay. I want to encourage you. Don't just sit there. Get into the race. The Lord booked us in that race the day we said yes to Him. But some of us maybe are still at the starting blocks warming up and thinking, it looks a bit tough, you know? You need endurance to run this race. This race is for the rest of your life. Okay. Choosing to run this race is going to determine where you spend an eternity. How you run the race is going to determine what rewards you'll get one day. That's not as important. But we must run with endurance, okay? It's not child's play being a Christian today. People want to say outside there, you know, out in the world, you tell them you're a Christian and they think you're some kind of a sissy that needs a crutch in life or whatever. No, it's not child's play being a Christian. Following Jesus is for real men and real women. Okay? And so we've got to lead the way and we've got to show the way, but we need endurance to run this race. And it's a year, we're talking about 2013, and I want to tell you that yes, there will be challenges, but remember this, that the Lord is with you and He will, whatever He brings you to, He will take you through. We need to stay focused on Him. Let's read the next verse. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Okay, think of a 100-meter dash. You watched the Olympics last year. You saw Bolt and Lightning and all of these oaks looking straight in front of them. They don't look to the side. They look straight in front of them. They don't see anything else. They say those athletes get tunnel vision. Okay. We're talking about running a race with endurance, and Paul says, not Paul, we don't know who says it. Could be Paul. He says, you must keep your eyes on Jesus. Look straight ahead. Let me tell you, yeah, in the periphery, there's a lot of distractions. We spoke about money, wine, woman, and song. And for the woman, wine, guys, and song, and whatever. There's a lot of distractions. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to run straight. As soon as you start looking to the side, you know what they say. Kijk waar je rijdt, moet niet rijden waar je kijkt niet. Okay, so if you start looking to the side, you're going to start going to the side. Now, last year, it wasn't that long ago, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I took my wife has a car, I've got a motorcycle. I took my motorcycle around the track at Killarney. And they, you know, it's like a advanced driving school and whatever, and so there's some oaks giving you some tips, and then you go race a few laps, and you come back for some more tips, and unfortunately, the tips that they gave us right at the end of the day, they should have given us at the beginning of the day, but that's another story. But the one thing that the guy said, if you see a stone in the road in front of you, don't look at the stone. Because you're going to hit the stone if you look at the stone. Okay, so there's just a tip. If you're a motorcyclist or a cyclist or something, but we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we take our eyes off Jesus, we're going to drift away from Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? We got to look dead ahead. In other words, you got to know where the finish line is. Today, or this week, or now at the start of the year, we've got a purpose in our hearts where we are going to spiritually this year. And then we've got to stay focused on that and trust Jesus to get us there. But you better believe that God has got something He wants you to grow in this year. At least one thing. Okay, there's going to be more, but He might reveal some of the rest later on. But let us be focused on that thing. We cannot afford to stay where we are now, spiritually. We have to grow. The kingdom is coming, and God is moving. Keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. He will help you through it. He will help you finish the race. He will perfect you as you go. he will steer the moving ship. Who for the joy that lay before him, Jesus our example, for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. What made him go to the cross? You and me, all of us. That is what he was thinking of. He knew that is the only way that we can come back to God, if he goes to the cross. That was the joy that he had before him, that we can know him and experience, receive and reciprocate his love. And that's why he made us, but he needed to go to the cross for that. And so yes, life is tough, but God is good, and you're going to make it if we stay focused on Jesus. Amen? Will you stand with me as we pray? Yes, Lord. We want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We want to thank you, Lord God, that we can hear your voice. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes alongside us to help us, that directs your church. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you have got amazing things in store for us in this year. Things that we haven't even thought of or dreamed of, Lord. Lord, let this year not just be an ordinary year for us, Lord God, for any of us, Lord. Let it be an extraordinary year, Lord. Let it be a supernatural year. Let it be a year of growth, Lord God. And let us see your kingdom come more and more in and through our lives this year than ever before, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. We want to walk closer this year, Lord. Help us in that, Lord. Grant us the grace to follow hard after you. And thank you that you are always there for us, Lord. Thank you that you love us, Lord.